Each year as we come to the day of Pentecost, I can't help but remember a Pentecost a few years ago. And I know I have mentioned this before, but I can't help but remember the Pentecost when I was on retreat with the Taizé community in France. This interfaith community, whose mission is for reconciliation in the world, also has the mission of welcoming, of hospitality. And it's a place of pilgrimage, especially for young people who come from all over the world to experience retreat, connection with others, prayer, and a very particular kind of worship they have developed in that community. And so a few years ago, I had the opportunity to arrive on the seventh Sunday of Easter, 1 week before Pentecost. There were maybe 200 of us there. And we immediately fell into this wonderful rhythm of worship several times a day in the beautiful chapel, of small group time, Bible study, of work time, and of free time. And with a group that size, it was very quiet. It was really quite a wonderful retreat. As we got closer to Pentecost, however, maybe about Wednesday, certainly by Thursday, more and more people were coming. By the morning of Pentecost, there were 2,500 people there. They have this chapel which can accommodate as many as they have. Walls open and they can just keep expanding. And so on Pentecost morning, 2,500 of us gathered in that church to celebrate the day of Pentecost. Now I confess, I felt a little bit like my quiet meditative retreat had been lost. It was noisy. It wasn't so quiet. But then we began to worship. We began by singing a chant, Veni Creator Spiritus, come Holy Spirit, with people from all over the world, many young people there. We chanted. We called on the Holy Spirit to come into our midst. And I experienced suddenly something that morning that was profound. And I realized that in the noise of all those people, in the photographers who were taking pictures, who couldn't resist, in the chaos and the bustle, but also in the profound sense of a diverse group of people worshiping together, I came to have a sense, in a small way, of what it might have been like that first Pentecost morning. We heard in our first lesson from the Acts of the Apostles, and this morning we heard it in multiple languages as they did on that first Pentecost. We heard about the activity of the Spirit, how those faithful followers of Jesus, after the ascension, returned to Jerusalem. They remained in the room where they had been staying. They were together and they prayed. And there were the original followers of Jesus, the women who had been with Jesus throughout his ministry and been with him at the cross and the tomb, as well as his mother Mary, the brothers of Jesus. They were all gathered together, and on that first day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit comes upon them. Now, sometimes the Holy Spirit comes in that still, small voice, in a very quiet and intimate moment and way. And other times, the Holy Spirit comes and makes quite a stir. And that was the case on that Pentecost. For there is a sound from heaven, a violent rush of wind. There are divided tongues of flame which rest on each person. All are filled with the Holy Spirit and begin to speak in multiple languages, languages not their own. This spectacle attracts a crowd wondering what in the world is going on. Now there are those there who sneer at this. Someone says, these people are drunk. This can't be a real experience. This can't be the Holy Spirit. But Peter says, it's 9 a.m. We are not drunk. We are full of the Holy Spirit. And then Peter goes on to preach that first sermon. And if you continue reading in this chapter of Acts, you will find out at the end of Peter's sermon that on that day, 3,000 people were baptized. The Spirit was doing a mighty work. And so it is, the Spirit can be gentle or the Spirit can come in with a roar of thunder. The Spirit can even upset things, can turn things upside down. The hymn we just sang before the gospel has a great phrase where it talks about 100 men and women, through the power of the Holy Spirit, turn the known world upside down. They go from that Pentecost experience to taking the good news, preaching it out in the world, taking it to the corners of the earth. And full of the Holy Spirit, they go forth to do the very mission of Jesus. They preach, they teach, they baptize, they heal. Sometimes they even raise the dead, just as Jesus did. Now, that's not to say when the Holy Spirit comes in and turns things upside down, it's always comfortable or easy. Those first folks who were present on that first Pentecost knew well the power of the Holy Spirit to shake up things and to change lives. They were true to the mission of Jesus and went to the ends of the earth as his witnesses, some of them even witnessing by being martyrs, paying the price with their life. The Holy Spirit changed their lives dramatically. As I was thinking about this power of the Spirit to turn things upside down, to shake things up, to change things, I was put in mind of an important anniversary that's being celebrated in July. At the end of July, it will be 40 years since the first women were ordained priests in the Episcopal Church. And this is a cause for great celebration. But at the time it happened, it really shook the church. After nearly 70 years of study, you know how the church can do that. We'll have a study, we'll do some Bible study, we'll keep talking. After nearly 70 years of that, there was a growing consensus that women were indeed being called by God to be priests. But still, not all agreed. And so, in July, a group of 11 women, with three bishops and other priests, men, decided that it was time to ordain women. And so in Philadelphia on that July morning, July 29th, 11 women were ordained to the priesthood. General Convention had not yet said you could do that, so it caused a stir. In the end, their ordinations were considered valid, but irregular. And it took the church two years to figure out what to do, and finally General Convention allowed the ordination of women to the priesthood. But there was a sense in that action that the Holy Spirit was acting. The church was being called to change. These women were called to ordained ministry, and the church should listen to God. Some people left the church over this. It caused some division and strife, but overall it was for the good of the body. And it was deemed to be the will of God. So that leads me to say, how do we know? How do we ask? How do we know when something is the work of the Holy Spirit and not just an idea that someone has, but is actually the Spirit at work in the church calling us to do something new? I think there are several qualities, and we see them in our lessons this morning. One is the Holy Spirit unites people. The Holy Spirit builds up the body of Christ. In our first lesson from Acts, it's no accident that when the Spirit is poured out on the apostles, they preach in many languages. If you think back to that story of the Tower of Babel, how humankind decides you're going to build a very tall tower. They're going to, in some ways, act like God. And the response from God is to afflict them with multiple languages. They can't understand each other anymore. The story of Pentecost undoes the Tower of Babel. Now all can communicate. Those divisions are erased. People can talk to one another. The works of God can be proclaimed and all can understand. In our epistle, we hear from 1 Corinthians, from Paul, talking about how through the Spirit, and only through the Spirit, can anyone say Jesus is Lord. That's the Spirit working in us. And how the Spirit gives many gifts, all for the good of the body. And at the end of the lesson, Paul reminds us that the work of the Holy Spirit breaks down divisions. There's no longer Jew and Gentile. There's no longer slave and free. In the letter to Galatians, Paul also adds, there's no longer male and female. All those ways we divide ourselves, all those ways we seek as humans to keep people out, the Holy Spirit erases. In the Spirit, there is one body. There are no divisions. The Holy Spirit comes to do something new, to shake things up sometimes. Not that everything old, everything from the past, everything in our tradition needs to go. But sometimes the Holy Spirit calls us to do new things. Like calling those 100 people to go to the ends of the earth and shake things up. Sometimes the church is called to change practice, such as ordaining women, or full inclusion of lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender people. Things that the church has wrestled with, issues of inclusion that have been hard, but over time it's been clear the Holy Spirit is calling us to do something new, to change. And so each age is called to be open to the Spirit, to see those ways we are being called to change, those new things we're being called to do, not just rest in the past, but to see where the Spirit is leading us into the future. The Holy Spirit is also offered to all, not a small group, not a select group, not just the powerful, but to everyone. In our lesson from Acts, Peter preaches, and he quotes the prophet Joel, where Joel reminds the people that at the last day, the Spirit will be poured upon all people, poured upon all flesh. Peter himself has an experience of that, coming to realize that the Spirit's even poured upon Gentiles. And Peter comes to believe Gentile people can be baptized, which for him was a huge change, one he struggled with. The Holy Spirit is offered to all, not just a few. And then the Holy Spirit is always about the work of creation and recreation. In Genesis, the Spirit hovers over the waters and brings forth creation. The Spirit is that creative power of God, bringing forth all that is. Again, from the letter to the Acts of the Apostles, Peter, quoting Joel, says, "The Spirit, when poured out, will cause people to have visions and to have dreams, to see things that are not here, to believe that there's more than what we see in the here and now, to even glimpse eternity." That call of God for the kingdom to come into our midst in the here and now. In our gospel this morning, we have that account, which we heard also on the second Sunday of Easter, of those disciples behind locked doors. And they're there because of fear. But the Holy Spirit removes that fear and empowers them. They leave that room and they go to do the work of Jesus. They are recreated by that Spirit into new people, into people full of the Spirit empowered to do the work of Jesus. So it is the Holy Spirit empowers us and sends us out, gives us a mission, but also gives us all we need to answer that call, to do that mission. And so on this day of Pentecost, let us say yes to that invitation of the Holy Spirit. Say yes to opening ourselves to that power of the Spirit. Let ourselves be transformed wherever the Spirit may take us. Even if it's unpredictable or frightening, trust the Spirit to support us and comfort us in that call. And let us expect the Holy Spirit to show up. I think sometimes we're not so sure about the Spirit, and it can be easy to not be looking for the activity of the Spirit. But let's open ourselves to the work of the Holy Spirit. Expect the Spirit in our midst to be doing a good work. And ask the Holy Spirit to come into our minds, to enlighten us, inspire us, and maybe even turn us upside down. And like those first followers of Jesus, may we be full of the Holy Spirit and be Jesus' witnesses to the ends of the earth, doing Jesus' work that he has called us to. Amen.